Good morning and welcome to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. I'm Lucas.
I'm Phil.
And today we have a very special episode.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always special when I get to talk to you, Lucas. Always fun when we get to hang out, even though it's remote. I'm looking at, looks like giant, many, many rolls of toilet paper or paper towels on the top of the shelf behind you.
Paper towels, yeah.
Paper towels. Yeah.
So, hey, I have been remodeling our kitchen since March, actually. And I'm going to finish it.
January.
By March of 2027, 28, something like that. So, I'm working really hard here.
Oh, man.
Anyway, no, but we're doing it remote again, but I feel like we're getting better. Every time we do it remote, it gets
better.
Sure,
yeah. I don't know if we're getting better or if our standards are getting lower, but we're still enjoying it.
No, Phil, listen. Our standards could not have gotten any lower, so we must be getting better.
No, you know what, Lucas, you make an excellent point.
Every episode is special. Why? Because my mom told me it was.
Yes, you're special, Lucas.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, Lucas, what was the best thing you had to eat this week?
I'm glad you asked, Phil, because I had some amazing food. So, my wife and I just celebrated our 10-year dating anniversary and our 9-year...
Well, you guys aren't married yet? Oh, I see. Yes. I see. You threw me off there for a minute.
Simple thing to live by, Phil. Take every excuse to celebrate. So we took our 10-year dating anniversary, 9-year engagement anniversary. They're both on the same day. And so we went on a date and left the kids with her mom and had a grand old time. And I won't tell you everything.
A grand old time.
So,
yeah,
but
okay.
we went out to dinner at, it's called Red Rooster here in Oklahoma City.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
And they have, so it's again, they pretty much everything except for the bread there is gluten-free. So I don't have to really worry
about
it. So she had the fish and chips, and we both ate half and swapped plates because that's how you do it. So she got the fish and chips, which were phenomenal. Yeah. That's
gluten-free,
like our go-to gluten-free fish and chips. And I had gluten-free chicken fried bison with mashed potatoes and gravy. And let me tell you, it was phenomenal. Like
bison.
Chicken fried bison. Yeah, it was so so good.
That's kind of exotic, Lucas. I'm kind of impressed that you're eating
man
bison.
Eats a buffalo. Yeah, it was really good.
What was that?
Have you never seen the video of the guy and it's like man on a buffalo?
Yeah, I think maybe I have.
I think it's making fun of old Taco Bueno commercials or something. But
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I saw that, and I had no idea what it was making fun of. And you just referenced it and put me one step closer to maybe. I don't know. I don't understand what was going on there. But you know what? I ate last week that was so good. My mom made shepherd's pie.
Shepherd's pie is so good.
She just turned 89, by the way. So shout out to my mom. Just turned 89.
Shout out to Phil's mom for blessing the world with this sweet soul
here.
That's
right.
Also, shepherd's pie, definitely like top 10 underrated foods. Like, so good. But nobody ever's like, you know, it's really tasty, shepherd's pie. No, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
You know, I do really, you know, I'm not a big mashed potatoes guy, but that shepherd's pie totally justifies mashed potatoes.
I love
shepherd's pie.
I'm a big mashed potato guy. So
at least that one that my mom made, it was really, really something.
So, I mean, as a gluten-free person, it's like this gift. It's like, hey, here's the equivalent. It's like a chicken pot pie, except with beef.
Yeah.
And instead of using bread, we're going to use potatoes. It's like, good, I can eat that.
Yeah, it's got that starchy... and then saucy, soupy vegetable.
It's definitely something you have to be careful though, because you can only eat it if you can take a nap after, or like it's a good dinner because you're winding down. But if you got to be active after lunch, don't eat shepherd's pie for lunch. Like it's a Sunday afternoon meal.
It was for dinner. We had it for
there
dinner, and it was a good plan. because yeah, it is. It's a nap. It is making you take a nap right afterwards. Yes. So
rest from the Lord.
It was really good.
Speaking of a nap,
it's time for another nap. Okay. Are you taking a nap right now? It's not really an appropriate
time. No, but this is rest for our ears. Sweet, refreshing rest of the Gen Z Word of the Week.
Yeah, it's back. By the way, by popular demand, the Gen Z Word of the Week. You know, people who I meet who have listened to the podcast, you know, they go back and listen to the early ones when we were and sort of the sweet spot, that kind of season two area where we were doing Gen Z Word of the Week every week. And I had no idea what any of those words meant. And so it's back.
Yeah,
but it may not be Gen Z, because I know a lot of Gen Z words now. We all do.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a really weird niche Word of the Week. So for those of you that don't know, I teach sixth grade math on south side of Oklahoma City at Santa Fe South West Middle School. And because of that, I have a lot of Hispanic students. So these are not just sixth grade words of the week. These are sixth grade Hispanic student words of the week. So it's a real interesting. So yeah, it's better than Gen Z because there's almost chance you'll know.
There's a Latin flair to the Gen Z word of the week.
Exactly.
Okay.
I did my research, and I asked all these sixth graders to tell me some words to say, and they gave me this one. It's the chisme.
The chisme.
The chisme.
Oh, well, you know what? I think I know what that is.
Bring it on.
I think it means cool. It means like you got the cool, you got the vibe, you got the cool vibe. And I'm only saying that because they when I was in Mexico, they taught me that something that was really cool. It says muy chido.
Muy chido?
Muy chido.
Well,
so am I close?
You are absolutely wrong.
Oh.
No. Okay.
I had a guess.
I'm glad you guessed. I'm really proud of you. Here's the deal. The chisme is pretty much just, it's the same thing as to relate it back to our Gen Z. It's like pouring out the tea, right? Spill the tea. The chisme is the gossip. Okay. So I'll come by to these sixth graders talking, and I'm like, what are you girls talking about? They're like, it's the chisme. And I'm like,
it's the chisme.
And it's my favorite because I'm like, oh, do you want to tell me some? And I'm like, oh, wait, never mind. This is math. This isn't chisme class. Do your math. So.
Chisme. Is it fun? Is it spelled a certain way?
C-H-I-S-M-E.
Oh, okay. Chisme.
Here's the beautiful thing about Spanish. It's spelled just like it sounds. Like every time. English,
well,
not
it was
so much.
A Z or a
not so much. Yeah, I thought it was a Z, but it's not. Anyway.
Well, Gen Z word of the week. Fail.
Good
job, Phil. You got a dad story? Are we
dad
doing dad stories
with Lucas? No, let me bring you one.
Okay.
I'm hoping it's not one that I've told on the pod before, but I had it in the notes. So the other
Lucas
night.
Lucas has a new baby.
I do. I have a sweet little boy. His name's Gideon.
How old is Gideon now?
Gideon is 7 weeks. Actually, when this pod is released, he'll be 8 weeks old. Eight weeks old on the day. So sweet little boy. He's amazing. This story is actually not about him, though. Take your guesses, poop or no poop. So the other night, we are sitting in the living room, and my dearest middle child, Jubilee, just being amazing, she's playing with her blanket and kind of like throwing it over her head and throwing it off, right? And doing this over and over. And then she throws it over her head and decides to like kind of start running around the living room, and it's just kind of running in circles.
Hey.
And then figures out she can't get the blanket off, so she's just running in circles like, like trying to get this blanket off, pulling frantically, but like still kind of like putting on a show, trying to make... So it's just hysterical, and finally, like, she doesn't run into anything. She falls down on the ground, like, bloop.
I was going to start guessing blood or no blood.
And then just starts, she's like, ah, ah, and like pulling this blanket as hard as she can. And it finally pops off. And then she just looks at us with the biggest cheese. Like, I did it. Oh my goodness. It was the greatest moment.
Yeah, you had not told that. That's, you know, those moments are just priceless.
Yeah, we're just sitting there like laughing with tears in our eyes. Yeah. So. Great. Oh, it was amazing. Oh, so amazing. So.
Great stuff. Well, speaking of amazing. We were talking last week about
forgiveness and apologies.
We talked about apologies and what's not a good apology, and talked a little bit about forgiveness.
I was going to add real quick before we dive back into forgiveness, because we weren't going to talk too much more about apologies. But I heard a guy, and I just would like to relay this information to our listeners because I thought it was amazing. But just talking about apologizing, and he said. Don't say I'm sorry. And he was like, because typically if you've done something wrong, they could just look back at you and go, I'm sorry you did that too. So his point was to not just say I'm sorry, but like, hey, I treated you this way and this is what I did wrong. Right. And like actually taking to heart what you did, not just I'm sorry.
I shouldn't have done A, and B, then, C. I shouldn't have done this.
Exactly. Yeah. And then he said, then he went on to say like, and ask for forgiveness, don't command forgiveness. So don't just say, please forgive me. Say, can you or will you forgive me? And then his final point, which I thought was great, was behavior change. So like, show them that you are actively trying to do different, right? If you're apologizing, then you should be changing something. So anyway, I thought it was really, really good. And I thought our listeners need to hear that. Those that want to hear the Gen Z word of the week, they need to know. So I don't know why that affected it, but anyway.
All right. So I heard, actually, I was going to bring this up on the last podcast, but I didn't get to it. And it turns out that this could be like an entire discussion. Cause when I sort of previewed this to you, Lucas, I was a little surprised at your response. But after I thought about it, I thought, man, this is kind of a, and I thought it was a strange statement myself, but you kind of strongly disagreed with it. And I'm going to say it, and I just go to town, man. I heard someone say this. I don't remember where I heard it. It really sounded strange to me, but then I thought, well, there is some truth to that. Here it is. And this guy was defining forgiveness. Never heard anybody say this before. He said forgiveness, and I don't know if I'm saying it exactly right. Forgiveness is taking responsibility for someone else's actions onto yourself. In other words, taking, I don't know if the blame, but he used the word responsibility. Forgiveness is taking the responsibility for what someone else did onto yourself. Hmm. And so I, you know, as I was saying it to you and the way you responded, I thought, okay, I hear some kind of red flags in that too. So, no. I mean, what's your response to that?
Okay. So I would say just from that, like the responsibility of their action is in your reaction, right? Like, so I can see from that side, but I think you had just kind of laid it out of, well, this is how Christ forgave us. It was kind of their point of how they define forgiveness from Christ's point of view. And so to me, the big thing would be why Jesus can take the responsibility for our action upon himself is because he is God, right? Like Jesus can take all of what the world has done, all of our sin that has sinned against him and him alone, right? Like this massive debt that we owe him, and he can take that debt and forgive it is because he has gone and made amends for that. But I can't make amends. I can't take on the debt of your sin. I'm not God. I'm not Jesus. It's not my responsibility to take on your sin, right? Like, so that's kind of where I see that the issue there is in that. Yeah. Like, I think I could see where they're going, and maybe you can kind of fill us in on the other side. Might be really good. So,
well, I kind of had, at first I had a lot of trouble with it just because I thought that's just so bizarre. Why would you say that? Why does, you know, how could it mean to take responsibility? But exactly what you said, it The thing in that that's true and that I think it might be good for us to explore is that that's what Jesus did. And that if we're going to follow Jesus' example of forgiveness, then is there a way in which we take responsibility for someone else's sin? And I think maybe in the way we do that, it is through, you know, loving them in spite of it, you know?
Yeah.
And in a way where, you know, I mean, Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7.
Yeah.
And I think there is, you know, there's a realm in which, like, you know, you think about a marriage, you know, there's stuff that I do that drives my wife crazy. You know, there's stuff that we do there's stuff she does that drives me crazy. And at some point you just have to go, you know, it's not that big a deal. You don't, it's not like, you know, and I don't see, and I'm talking about little foibles. I'm not really talking about sins.
I was going to say, I think I mean, that's the, right? Like the stuff that drives you crazy, like if they sing in the shower or leave their dirty socks on the ground, like versus like a sin against you. Like that's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and to me, right? Like the definition of forgiveness is to give it to God, right? Give that sin against you, you let the Lord take care of it. You let the Lord have it. So it's almost, to me, the quote should be, or to me, like, is to, not for me to take the responsibility of their actions, or the responsibility for their sins, but to allow God to have the responsibility for their sins.
Yeah.
And just again, looking on, like, God took the responsibility for my sin, right? Like, that's how I can be forgiven, is because God took it. And even deeper, like, me taking the responsibility for their sin, like, that doesn't do anything for them.
Exactly. Well, and I think, I think the more I think about this, I just disagree with it myself. I'm like, I understand whoever said this was trying to say, well, we need to follow Christ's example, but in a large part of what he was doing, as far as that wasn't forgiveness, that was atonement. You know, that was propitiation. Forgiveness is the result of that. Forgiveness is the heart behind Jesus taking responsibility for it, taking the penalty for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think
I don't know.
Coming back to it, just the, like, taking responsibility, in this statement, like, to take responsibility for my reaction regardless of their action. That, I think, could be key here, right?
Take responsibility. Think that's valid. Yes.
Regardless of what they did. And this just reminds me, let's see, I think it's Romans 12, 17, and 18. I could be off a little bit, but I know it's in Romans, but it's the repay no one evil for evil. But
I think you're right.
Give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of God. And
as far as it depends on
possible,
you,
as far as it depends on you, live peaceably
with all men. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think it's like that second part, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And this is a big part of amends, right? If you follow it. Anyway, the big part of amends is whatever depends on you, like whatever part of the conflict, even if you only had 1 or 2% of the conflict, like it's on you to apologize and to make amends for that 1 or 2%, even if they were responsible for 98% of the conflict.
Yeah.
If they did everything else and you had this one outburst, like you can make amends for that one outburst as far as it depends on you, right?
Yeah.
This may change nothing for them.
No.
But it definitely show. Go ahead. Go.
In a way, you're taking responsibility for the relationship.
There you go.
As far as it depends on you. And I think, so I think whoever said that, I would have to say, man, you really have to tweak that statement. You really got to change some things. You got to add some important qualifications to that. Surely, truly, Jesus did take our sin upon himself, literally took the guilt of it.
Exactly.
But I don't think we're called to take one another's guilt. I don't know. If somebody has really prayed through this and studied through this and find a way that we're, you know, and we're supposed to forgive as Christ forgave us, but he was not only forgiving on the cross, he was atoning.
Oh, absolutely.
He was paying for, and he had the ability to pay. You know, we have no ability to pay.
No,
you
know? No. Like that's.
In fact, if we try to pay, let's get real. If we try to do that in the, at least the way it sounds on the surface, that's messed up.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they call it, like codependency, or that's like some kind of messed up.
No,
stuff
absolutely.
Where I try to fix you, or I try to make up for everything you do wrong.
Your well-being becomes my responsibility, and that's not like,
oh,
that's,
no,
that's twisted, right?
And it's impossible. You can't do that for somebody.
No, but it is. Look, like this is a, and I don't know where that quote came from. You don't know where it quote, but also like
I don't remember.
Codependency is another. It's a cheap knockoff of love, right? Like we start to look what the world has to offer, what Satan wants to give us. Is cheap knockoff versions of what God made originally, right?
Yeah.
Like God made love and he made joy and he made happiness, right? Like God made these things for us. And then Satan tried to fill that for us with something that's never going to work. And I think codependency, right? Like this idea that I can forgive them by like deciding that it was my fault, essentially.
Man.
Like that's. That's not from God.
That's really unhealthy. That's wrong. But
that would be like if Jesus, when he forgave our sins and paid them, Jesus never said, it's my fault that they sinned.
No, I mean, legally he did.
He took the...
did it legally, but you're right. It's a very interesting thing and it's a unique thing.
Yeah. I mean, and on our side, like it's not my fault they sinned, but my reaction belongs to me. What I do post sin, like that's where, and again, this doesn't make sense to the world. When we look at our walk with Christ is so contrary to the walk of the world, because the world says if they did that to you, you have every right to hold a grudge. You have every right to be bitter and petty, right?
Yeah. And that's where taking responsibility for your own soul, for your response, that's where it's a really big thing. You have to. And forgiveness, like the quote from last week, last episode, that forgiveness is setting a prisoner free and realizing the prisoner was you. Right? Because you have the only way you're going to be free is if you take responsibility for your response, your reaction, your soul in the midst of the sin of others against you. Like I love what Dan Moeller says, don't let sin against you produce sin in you.
Ooh, spit you fail. Spit fail, man.
Right?
It is. Well, that's been just the freedom that comes in forgiveness, right? Of like letting go. And it's almost, it's the same freedom that comes with confessing sin, like unconfessed sin. It's a rot to the bones. And
oh man,
bitterness and resentment, it's a rotting of the bones. And I've been talking a lot recently with several different people just about how like in American culture, we want to take the spiritual and the physical and separate them completely, almost as if the spiritual really doesn't exist, but it's just there. Other cultures don't do that, right? Like there's a recognition of the spiritual existing and being directly tied to the physical.
Yeah.
And so I think like this isn't a metaphorical rotting of the bones.
Oh, no.
Resentment,
it literally does. Make
resentment, bitterness, it is an unconfessed sin, and it does sit there, and it rots you, like, spiritually, and that
literally.
Spiritual overpours and rots you. Like, there's stories, and upon stories, there's people that they have unforgiveness in their heart, and it shows itself in arthritis. Like, this is happens, and then when they truly give it to God and forgive that person, all of a sudden, like, their hands are able to unclench for the first time in years, because they've held on to this unforgiven sin.
I'm sorry, you can't see me for a minute, Lucas. I apologize.
That's okay. But, listeners, you can't see Phil at all.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, so I was listening to a song today I don't know if you saw my Facebook post about this, but it's an old song by Rich Mullins. And I'm going to look up the lyrics to it real quick because I want to read a couple of lines from it. It ties right into what we're saying. I've been thinking about it all day. And I started thinking about this because I've been meditating on the idea of eternal life, of eternal mindset. Mm. And today, knowing that we were going to record, I started thinking, well, how does that relate to forgiveness? And I'm like, man, forgiveness is an eternal mindset. I think an eternal mindset can really be necessary to forgive, to realize, hey, I'm going to live way past my physical death.
Yeah.
This earth, this hurt that happened to me is a blip.
Yeah.
This stress that I'm under right now is a blip.
Yeah.
This, you know, as John Piper so eloquently says, 90 years of pain will be as nothing compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. So anyway, so he's talking about this Rich Mullins song is called Hard to Get. And I'm going to read a couple of lines from it because he's talking about
Can you actually sing the lines?
You who live in heaven, hear the prayers of those of us who live on earth. I probably can't sing too much of it because of copyright. But anyway, so that's the first line. You who live in heaven, do you hear the prayers of those of us who live on earth? Just you guys, listen to this song. I don't think it was ever recorded in the studio by Rich Mullins because he died before he was able to record this album. But the demo is out there. And you hear him stop the jam box at the end, the tape recorder at the end. He recorded on a cassette tape, and you hear him stop the tape recorder at the end of the song. But here's the last line, the last verse of the song. You who live in eternity, hear the prayers of those of us who live in time. We can't see what's ahead, and we cannot get free from what we've left behind. I'm reeling from these voices that keep screaming in my ears. All these words of shame and doubt, blame and regret. Isn't that great? Mm-hmm. And then, I'll read the rest of it because it's, I can't see how you're leading me unless you've led me here to where I'm lost enough to let myself be led. And so you've been here all along, I guess. It's just your ways and you were just playing hard to get. So if you hear the whole song, you kind of understand the significance of that last little line. Because he keeps saying God's playing hard to get. At the end, he says, no, you're just hard to get. Like, I don't get you, God. You're so good, you know? But that, you know, these voices of doubt, shame, blame, and regret. And what he's saying is that eternity doesn't have any of those things. You know, that's a thing that's, those are time-based things. Unforgiveness is time-based. You know, when you can really get free is when you can realize that time is not all we have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We have much more than this life.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's the sort of the baseline promise of faith in Christ is eternal life.
Yeah.
But man, sometimes we downgrade that, we cheapen it because we think, oh, well, that's later.
Yeah.
Well, how about an eternal mindset? That's eternal life.
Yeah. Well, and I kind of frame it in the mindset too of like, man, like if I don't want to wait till eternity to start enjoying that life with Christ, right?
Right.
And like,
yeah.
Why would you want to waste a second of that time
exactly
living with unforgiveness, especially like
anger, frustration, fear.
I don't think I referenced this last time, but the deal with forgiveness, right? In the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And like, this is not Jesus saying, I won't forgive you your sins unless you've perfectly forgiven everyone, right? Like you're not going to lose your salvation. But the deal is, right, in this like opening of my eyes to there's still, you can still hurt the relationship.
Yeah, like, and you won't lose the burden. You won't lose the burden until you forgive.
Yeah, and you won't be able to have that close communion with God. Like, if your only goal is eternity, like, cool, I guess. But I want eternity now. Like, I want to live with Christ now. I want to be a good friend now. because I'm going to go live in eternity with him. If I'm excited to live in eternity with him, I better get used to like wanting to be with him now. And here's the deal is, if you're living with unforgiveness, personal experience, right? If you're living with unforgiveness, unconfessed sin, the burden of this life, right? If you're just holding on to that, you don't know what you're missing. A bird doesn't know what flight is till they've been released from their cage, right? Yeah. Like until you've experienced God for real, without all of these chains and burdens, and you've legitimately dropped them, you just don't know how good he actually is.
Yeah.
And like, I just think so many of us are living here with bitterness and resentment and all of these things attached and like, well, like God seems
and,
like
and
he's
just
good.
And just hurt.
And just
even
hurt.
Even if we don't feel anger about it necessarily, you know, even if we don't feel it, experience it that way, a lot of us, something.
Yeah. Anything we've held on to or is holding us down.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to frame it in that light. But it is like we walk around like we do because we don't realize what we could have. God, we talked, this is several months ago, but like we can have as much of God as we want. But you can only hold on to him if you let go of everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, He's a two-handed God, right? He wants all of us. You can't keep a hold of the other thing.
Yeah. So. Very good. Very good. Well, I'm gonna leave it right there, Lucas. I mean, you really brought that home. Great discussion. If you guys have comments about forgiveness, leave your comments about that. Weird statement I quoted at the beginning. It's so strange. It is kind of what Jesus did, but I don't know.
No, I do.
I think we have to take responsibility for our own soul.
Yes. Yeah. Our take 100% of the responsibility for you.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely. And set the prisoners free.
Yes.
Set them free. Absolutely. You can't hold stuff against people. Well, Lucas, great conversation. Do you have a minute of culture or do I have a minute of culture? I can't remember.
I had a minute of curmudgeonry. Minute of curmudgeonry.
Is it a minute of curmudgeonry? Yeah, I think it might be. So this is just a story. I have no bitterness against this woman. I find it really funny. It may be awkward. But it was not, I tell you, it was not awkward for this lady who said this to me. I'm in Walmart, okay? I'm walking through Walmart, minding my own business. I'm walking past the pharmacy area. And it's kind of at night and people are stocking. You know, there's a lot of people stocking. And there's a person stocking here and a person stocking there. And I'm walking in the main aisle and just, you know, 15 feet away from me in the aisle where they keep all the supplements and the drinks, you know, the protein drinks and stuff, stuff like that. A lady, and there's a lot of people in the store, okay? She singles me out. Maybe it was because she caught my eye, but I felt like there was a reason she picked me.
Why
for
you,
this
Phil?
Comment. Well, you be the judge. If you know me personally, she said to me, she said, "Hey, we got some great deals on Slim Fast over here." she said that to me. That she actually said that to me, and she was not being snarky in any way. She was being sweet, but I don't know. Maybe she just thinks it tastes good and she's a fan and she's like, hey, maybe she said that to many, many people that night while she was stalking the Slim Fast. But I feel, I don't know. I'm just saying, sometimes you ought to think before you speak. It didn't really make me feel bad. I just thought it was really, really funny that she would say that to me. And I didn't have a good comeback. I was like, no, I'm good. That's, you know, I was like, I wish I'd had something to say. I wish I'd say, you know, I don't know.
I'm gonna I'm gonna go get a Stouffer's instead.
So now I'm looking for a hungry man.
There it is. There it is.
Oh, man. So that was, yeah, that was my minute of being old. It's the old guy story of the week, I guess.
Oh,
at least,
my
goodness. At least she didn't say Geritol or whatever it is.
Hey, but, this is... Yeah. Oh, man. Oh,
okay,
well.
Okay, man. Well, if people have comments and questions and things like that, what should they do, Lucas? Is there a plan of action?
They should email those to secondbreakfast777@gmail.com. Where else can they send them, Phil?
Well, you know, we've set up a second email address. It's the same as the first. I'm not going to say it.
Or you can DM us on Instagram or Facebook.
Yes, the DMs.
If you find a secondbreakfast777@gmail.com or a secondbreakfast77, secondbreakfast, anything on TikTok, that's not us. Don't.
Hey, you know what? I did get an email from Tori. We got an email from Tori on the Second Breakfast website. I think Second Breakfast website. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. Okay, Boomer. The Second Breakfast email.
Where's the Facebook? What'd she send to the email?
She sent an email to that email. I think she's the only one who ever has. No, yeah. I got one from my sister once. Your wife, my sister,
have
sent emails to secondbreakfast777@gmail.com. But hey, we are really glad you listened. We so appreciate it. Please share this. Please like it. Please subscribe if you haven't, and get all your friends to do the same, because we are very close to becoming millionaires over this podcast. It's about to happen.
I am, anytime within the next 1,000 years, it could really go off.
So. We're going to live forever. For having an eternal mindset. It's going to happen.
Hey, at that point, we won't care about money. So we love y'all. We thank you.
And one last comment.
Have a fantastic evening.
Love and pancakes.
Love and pancakes.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.